Title of my message today is simply The Glory of God. And John refers to that and in a sense defines it for us here in this passage. The word glory in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word it comes from, simply means heavy. Heavy. Full. Dense. Bright. When the glory of God showed up in the temple after Solomon prayed, no one could stand. At other times when the glory of God filled his house, filled the temple, no one could enter because it was already full. And as it's carried into the New Testament, the word glory is literally the essence of something, the inherent intrinsic worth of something or someone that defines value and tends to praise, honor, and worth. John tells us that the word, his name for Christ in the beginning and up to and in the incarnation, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, pitched his tent, moved into our neighborhood, and we beheld his glory. The only begotten, he said, of the Father. Jesus, the Son, the eternal Son, the one who was in Genesis 1, the one by whom Hebrews tells us the worlds were created. He's God with skin on. And we beheld his glory, his essence. His inherent, intrinsic worth. His fullness. That's what Jesus said. He said to Philip, you recall in John 14 and verse 9, Philip had said, just show us the Father, Jesus, and that'll be enough. And Jesus said to Philip, have I been with you so long? When this interaction took place, it was not long before the cross, so he'd been with Philip for some 3 years. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me, Jesus said, has seen the Father. John said, and here in verse 15, it's not John who wrote this gospel, it's John the Baptist. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me. John understood he wasn't the center of the show. He was just the MC, you might say. He was the one who came out on the stage and introduced the star who was coming. And that star was Christ. And he declared, he was preferred before me and is because he was before me. John the Baptist, though he was born physically first, some 6 months maybe before Christ was born of Mary, yet John understood that he was before him. He existed before him. He recognized Christ's eternality, his divinity within his humanity. Emmanuel, God with us, God with skin on. That's who Jesus is. And in seeing him, we see John said, the glory of the Father. Well, what does that mean? What did it look like? Well, John said, who wrote this passage in verse 14, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. In other words, the Son who resembles exactly his Father. And then he described that glory full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. That's the glory that Jesus came to express of God the Father. Grace and truth. Not grace alone. The gospel isn't just grace. It's not grace alone, because that tends to license. Some people want to interpret it that way, that they can trust Jesus and do whatever they please. No, he didn't say grace by itself. He said grace and truth. But it's not truth alone either, because truth alone just tends to religious legalism. That's kind of the way the Pharisees wanted it. Truth without grace. And others wanted grace without truth, but Jesus came and brought us the glory of God, what he's really like, and that glory's full of grace and truth. But it's not truth first, because truth first tends to be cold and rigid and indifferent. The Holy Spirit is the one who decides and who led and who inspired the scripture, and he chose to put grace first. Because grace is God's opening the door to his welcoming throne. The shining thing throughout the Old Testament, as we read it, is certainly the holiness of God. But in light of that holiness, the other side of that coin, if you want to say, that shines throughout the whole scripture is mercy. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore, who belong to Christ, come boldly to the throne of grace with absolute confidence and assurance, that of a little child before his loving Father. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grace and truth. And once we have entered, once we've come into his presence through his mercy, by his grace, we find truth. Truth is that which is eternal, unchanging reality. No deception, no mistake, no falsehood, no failure, no hypocrisy, no deception. Truth. That's who Jesus is. And that's the way he came, is utter truth with the grace of God to bring us into it. Jesus said, John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And then he clarified what that truth and who that truth was. He says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The reality of who God is, Christ shows us. Jesus came to reveal the heaviness, the fullness, the effulgence, I think is the word, of his glory. And that glory is a holy, truthful, real, honest, never false God, creator, who has such grace and love that he invites sinners through his Son to him to enjoy, to experience, to live in the supply of his grace. That's what he says in verse 16. And of his fullness. Of his fullness. That word fullness means bounty, abundance, super abundance, overflowing, unending, immeasurable supply. Of his fullness we have all received. If you are a child of God, if you've said yes to Jesus Christ, if you're saved, that supply, that resource, that bounty is yours. You've received of it. If you're born again and experienced, have received the life of God in you by His Spirit through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that endless life is in you. It's joined with your spirit, His Spirit, the Bible says, and your spirit have become one, and you have that endless supply of life that's yours, regardless of your circumstances and your experiences. Of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. That's why that song meant so much to me. Oh, the way my Savior leads me. What if He leads you to that place or through that place? She could read. She learned how to read Braille. She could read a Braille Bible. She could see how Jesus healed people's eyes and how He healed people's ears. And they heard and they spoke, and demons came out and they could see time and again. And yet He didn't heal hers. And yet she believed that His grace was such that she could be led and was led all her life into joy. Eternal life is not circumstantial. It's not physical. It's not of this world. His grace is sufficient, Paul found out. That's what John said. Of His fullness we have all received. In other words, you got plugged in. When you got saved, you got plugged in to the eternal supply of the grace of God. And in that grace is His truth. And it never ends. He said, of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. It's literally grace upon grace. You see, wherever you find yourself, in whatever case you may be in, maybe you have experienced healing like I have and many other people have, and miracles in your life, and yet there's other things in your life that you question and you wonder about, and God hasn't done this way or that way as we hoped or expected, and yet the Scripture says grace upon grace. The best picture I know to interpret that phrase from the Greek is the ocean. A couple weeks ago, we went on vacation. We went to the beach. Have you ever stood on a beach and there not be a single wave come in? A sailor can give me an answer. They just keep coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming, because God set them in motion, and they're the perfect picture of His grace, of what we have tapped into through Jesus Christ. His fullness, His supply, and grace upon grace. In other words, the wave of His grace just keeps coming one after the other. It never fails and never runs out. That's what we have entered. That's what the Father sent his only begotten Son so that he could become the firstborn among many brethren, so that we too with him could become sons and daughters of God, children of God, who have this endless supply of our Father's loving kindness. It's exactly what grace is. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law was given through Moses. We had to have a standard. We had to know what the standard was. We had to know what holiness looked like, what God was like, how life in his kingdom would be. But it was given to us in that place and through Moses and in the law, so we could recognize that it was a standard we could never meet, but it is right. And then following upon that, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The glory of God came through Jesus Christ, and that glory was his invitation to us to receive by faith the life of his Son by his Spirit into ourselves, so that that standard could grow in us, so that we could be brought into his likeness. And one day, someday, finally live in that righteousness, in that likeness, in his fullness. Nobody's seen God at any time. Nobody really knew just what he was like. Moses knew him pretty well, because the scripture says God talked to him face as a man talks face to face. It doesn't say that he saw his face. In fact, you recall Moses asked to see him, and God said, no, you can't see my face. No man can see my face and live. He said, but I'm going to put you in this cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand, and I'll walk by and let you see my backside, God said. But God wasn't going to leave it that way. Because several thousand years later, God showed up face to face in a human body, his only begotten Son. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. That seems strange. John, why did you say that? Because he wanted us to understand that Jesus is in the bosom of the Father. That phrase in the Greek literally means in the love, in the affection, in the acceptance, in the attachment, in the oneness, in the union with the Father. That's who he sent, the one who knew him best, the one who shared his likeness, the one who was divine as he is, and in whom he loved beyond description. And that happy, secure embrace, that union with the Father is how Jesus came, who the Father sent to show us who he was. Said he has, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's what the Father calls you and I to today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but we all, say all. All. That includes everybody that's in Christ. But we all, not just the special, not just the best of us, not the elevated, we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You see, as we do what John said, as we behold His glory, the glory of the Word, the person of Jesus Christ, as we hang with Him, if you want to say it in modern day language, as we spend time with Him, as we recognize Him here and here and there, as we look at Him in the Word and we be with Him, as we look at His glory, the Father's only begotten, we're looking into a mirror, is the picture there in 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. The "are being transformed" in the Greek is the word we get metamorphosis from. As we recognize Jesus in us, with us, in His Word, around us, in our circumstances, in our lives, we are being changed. When they mention a mirror in Jesus' day, they didn't have a glass mirror like we did that showed you exactly what you looked like. You had to look at all kind of different angles on it. It was shiny metal. You didn't get a real clear picture without looking at all kind of different angles. Then you got the complete picture. And as we're beholding, as we're considering, contemplating, meditating, seeing Jesus in the Word and in our lives, we are becoming more aware of Christ in us and being transformed. That worm doesn't know he's becoming a butterfly while he's in that cocoon and metamorphosis takes place. It just happens. And then the cocoon opens and he flies away. And that's what's going on in your life and my life as we behold the glory of the Father in the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. Paul told us in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you is the hope or the assurance or the guarantee of glory. He said there in that passage in 2 Corinthians, with unveiled face. You recall when Moses came down off the mount because the glory of God had been so on him, he had to put a veil on his face. He was shining so brightly with the glory of God that the people were afraid of him. And it also says he wore that because it was diminishing. It didn't last because it was external. But when we come to God through Christ, that glory is planted within. By the Holy Spirit. It's an imparted, fearless, ever-increasing glory. And it's with unveiled faces we are being transformed. In other words, without fear and without worry that it's going to diminish, because His grace is upon grace. Paul told us in Romans 8:15 and 16, in light of this passage, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, that is if you're a Christian, again to fear, but you received the Spirit, capital S, of adoption, of sonship, by whom that Spirit we cry, Abba, or Daddy, Father. You see, that's what got Jesus in so much trouble. There wasn't a concept of your personal Father, of you being personally a child of the Creator, till Jesus came. He was the father of the nation of Israel and all of that, and referred to that in the Old Testament. But Christ came and taught us to pray, you and I and everyone who's born again, our Father. His and mine and yours. Remember, that's what he told Mary when she clung to his feet after the resurrection. He said, you go. Don't stay here. I haven't ascended yet. You go and tell my brothers that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Whatever our experience was of our earthly Father, and none of us had one who measured up to the Father. But whatever our experience of our earthly Father was, good, bad, or absent, every one of us are invited through the grace of God, the truth of the gospel in Jesus Christ, to know the perfect Father and to have the Holy Spirit himself, as verse 16 says in Romans 8, bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God, the perfect Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy and kindness. Thank you for this church, for the presence of your glory and grace and truth in this place and in your people, and for the love that it produces here. Father, we thank you for your spirit that lives in us and confirms to us that we're children of God. And Father, I pray for any person and every person in this building this morning who doesn't have that witness, who does not know in their hearts that you are their Father through Jesus Christ, that they will believe, that they will turn to Jesus with their whole hearts and receive him as their Lord and Savior, so that you become their eternal and everlasting Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.